Well, good morning, everybody. How many of y'all excited today? Some of y'all getting excited today, so some of y'all still sleepy this morning? You're awake? All right, you're ready? So it's good to see all of you today, and I feel like when I come to Messiah here, it's like coming back home. It's coming into the family because you guys have been so supportive of our healing seminars. And how many of y'all been out to one of the healing seminars that we've had on Saturdays? Yeah, just about all of you. And so I'm always appreciative of this church and that you carry the banner of healing, and you allow so many people to come in and get taught, get refreshed, get blessed, get healed, you know, and get set free. And so anyway, it's just an honor, privilege always to come to this church and just to speak a word in season. Amen? Amen. Everybody just, if you would, just lift up your hands and let's just go before the Lord. And just as Pastor Mark prayed that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, Father God, we just come before you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, today we just set apart this time to hear your voice. Lord, we want to hear your voice loud and clear. We want to be right on track with where you would have us to be. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word, that you sent your word and it healed us. And so, Father, I just thank you today, Father, that word is coming forth, that the Holy Spirit, we just invite you to translate and to interpret and to bring revelation today, Father, to our hearts and to our minds, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, how many of y'all had a happy July 4th? I know that may seem like a few days ago, but, you know, we were, I was in Washington, D.C., not this past week, but the week before, and we had, I was part of Team 1000, which during July 4th for 17 days, now it just ended this past Friday, but Team 1000 was 1,000 evangelists taking over Washington, D.C., and not just Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, in Baltimore, okay? They went into every single nursing home. We went into, had nightly crusades, street evangelism, morning, noon, and night. I mean, we just 1,300 spirit-filled evangelists taking over the city to see, you know, America. Come on, Washington, D.C., radically changed. How many of y'all want to see America change, right? And so it ended on Friday night, and so we were part of this team that went, and let me give you the total souls that got saved. It was 357,000. Souls were saved throughout Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and in Baltimore. Isn't that amazing? Everybody say, it's harvest time. Yes. It's harvest time. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. And so so it was just an amazing event and time to be a part of that. But guess what? That's just the beginning. Amen. We're getting ready to see a tremendous awakening. It's happening. I mean, it's already happening, but it's going to get better and better, gooder and gooder, more and more, you know. And so these are exciting times. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I just want to give you that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start there today. And so this morning I want to talk to you about living in the spirit of faith. Living in the spirit of faith. I mean, you can live in a certain area, or you can live with a certain spirit. You can carry a certain spirit about you. I know there are times that that people, you know, they pray, all right, and they know that they're supposed to pray. They have a duty to pray, I guess you might say, or an obligation. But then they can move over into a spirit of prayer. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? Where you get a hold of, hey, you just enjoy it. You love it, right? You enjoy praying. Well, the same is true for giving, right? You can give because you know you're supposed to give, and the Bible says to bring your tithes and all these different things. But then you can get into the spirit of giving, right? You can move over into just loving, living to give, right? Well, you know, the same is true with faith. When we look at faith, you can have faith. We can have faith in God. You can stand in faith. Sometimes we stand in faith for different situations. But then you also can carry a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith. And so we're going to look at that this morning, having a spirit of faith, living in that spirit of faith. How many of y'all want to live in the spirit of faith? Amen? Sounds like a good place to me. Hallelujah. So Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. Everybody say it. Say, we have. You know, it's important to recognize what you do have, not what you don't have. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Amen. We have the same spirit. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, during this time, well, first of all, he was quoting Psalm 116. Now, Psalm 116 is considered a Psalm of David. It was during a time where the psalmist, or David, he was in a place where he was greatly afflicted. He was in trouble. He was in sorrow. He was feeling the pains of death. He was not in a comfortable place. And yet during that psalm, in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the adversity he was going through, he said, I believe and therefore I speak. In other words, he put his trust in God even though he was going through a difficult time. And actually that psalm, Psalm 116, it's a psalm that Jesus and his disciples, that they sang. They sang the psalm after the Passover, just before Jesus was going to be arrested and to be crucified. And so that psalm, Psalm 116, is not a psalm of comfort. It's a psalm of thanksgiving to God, but it's a psalm where someone is going through a very hard time, a difficult place. All right? And so Paul recites that psalm here in 2 Corinthians 4, and he's not in a comfortable place either. All right, this is what he says. He says, I am troubled on every side. You ever been troubled on every side? I've been troubled on a few sides, but I can't say I've been troubled on every side. He says this, I've been distressed, he says, I am troubled on every side, but not distressed. I am perplexed, but not in despair. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. I am cast down, but not destroyed. So sometimes we think of, you know, well, it's easy to be positive when everything is positive. Yeah. Right? But Paul is quoting this scripture when he's going through great adversity, and he's also quoting Psalm 116, when the psalmist was going through great adversity. And in that time, he began to declare, I believe, therefore have I spoken, that God's word is true. How many of y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? Amen? And so, go with me to Mark chapter 11, if you would. We're going to just look at some things this morning about faith and how faith works. Most of you who have been around church long enough, you've heard messages on faith. Yeah, you understand the principles of faith. You know, the Bible says we're to walk by faith, we're to live by faith. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. You know, there's also a natural kind of faith. People in the world can have a natural kind of faith. I mean, in other words, when you when you sat down on the chair this morning, you had enough faith to know that that chair was going to hold you up. At least I hope you did. And so people kind of have a natural kind of faith that, you know, for this or for that, just in the natural. But we're talking this morning about something supernatural. Faith in God, faith in the Word of God, right? And faith is what? A supernatural substance. The Bible says faith is the evidence of what? Things not seen, all right? And so faith isn't just positive thinking, you know? But faith sees situations much differently. How many of y'all know that to be true, right? Faith is not based on any type of circumstances. Faith does not deny the existence of a problem, right? But faith sees differently, and faith just thinks differently, all right? And so we're going to talk to you about the difference between faith and then moving over into living in the spirit of faith. So in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God," or have the God kind of faith. "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That's a powerful scripture verse, isn't it? So faith is always in two places. It's where? It's in your heart, and it's in your mouth. You know, most of you know I traveled into the Middle East, into the Muslim world. And 4 or 5 years ago, we were able to, our ministry was able to purchase a building for a Bible school. And so I sent the money over, and the building was purchased. And so the next time I went to Cairo, Egypt, which Cairo is one of the largest cities in the world, Cairo, Giza, New Giza, they all are in the same area, and it's about 30 million people all in that that particular area. And so I could not wait to go and see the building. And so as I'm in a car, and the driver is telling me, you know, we're going into this part of Cairo. I said, "Well, what part of this is this Bible school? Where is it located?" And they said, It's in Makadam. Makadam. I said, "Makadam? What does that mean?" "Oh, this is a true story. It's a remarkable story. It's a story passed down through all of history in Egypt. It's a well-known story. Everybody knows this story. They know all about Makadam." And I said, "Well, tell me, what does that mean in Arabic?" He says, "Makadam means the mountain that moved." "What do you mean, the mountain that moved?" And so so the driver began to tell me the story, Egyptian history, well-known history. All the Egyptians know about this story. Well, in about 980 A.D., the Christians were living in that part of Cairo, and then the Muslims came. All right, and the cleric, you know, said, "We're going to take you over. All right, we're going to kill you. We're going to plunder you. We're going to take everything that belongs to you." And so the Muslim imam or the cleric, he says, "Okay, I'll give you Christians, you know, a couple choices. Number one, you can convert to Islam and be saved. Number two, you can You can fight and be killed. Or number three, well, according to your faith, according to your holy book, it says that if you have faith, then you could speak to a mountain and the mountain would be removed. So I'll give you three choices. What is your choice?" So the people rose up and they said, "Well, we're going to pray and fast for 3 days, and we're going to speak to this mountain, all right? And let the God who God, who is true, answer our prayer. So on the third day, all right, a man by the name of Saint Simon, he lifted up his voice, all right? He cried out to God, and there was a great earthquake that shook that mountain, and all of a sudden that mountain lifted up and was suspended in midair for several days. You could see under the mountain. You could see over the mountain, all right? And then after several days, the mountain came back down actually on a slightly different area, okay? And as soon as that happened, the Muslim cleric said, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I mean, whatever you want, you can have. You can have this land. You can, whatever. Do you want us to convert to Christianity? And so it's a famous story in all of Egypt today. The mountain that moved, Makadam, all right? So I wonder how many of us today would have that kind of faith. No, anyway. We have the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of God. Say, I have mountain-moving faith. Yeah. Yeah, your head's giving you a little, you know. But it's a true story, all right? And you go to Egypt today, you can see, what is it, the strata, you can see where is it, there was a break where it's not a regular, you know, y'all know what I'm saying, right? Even if I don't have the words, you know what I'm saying, all right? And so we understand faith, we understand principles and how faith works. And so what's the difference between standing in faith, having faith, and living in the spirit of faith? Let's talk about these things, okay? First of all, faith can be occasional, but the spirit of faith is constant. The spirit of faith is constant. Let me say it to you again. The faith can be occasional or for a moment. Sometimes when you're dealing with a situation that arises, all right, then you use your faith towards that. So it can be occasional. It can be momentary. But to have or to carry the spirit of faith is something constant. It's something that you carry wherever you go. You know, I always make this reference, you know, with Winnie the Pooh. Y'all remember Winnie the Pooh? All right, do y'all want to be a Tigger or you want to be an Eeyore? All right. Everyone wants to be a Tigger, right? Come on, all right. And so, what did Tigger always say? Anybody remember? Am I the only one? Tigger used to say, "The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things." Y'all remember that, all right? But see, you can know people that carry a different spirit. They carry a spirit of faith. You know, and looking back in the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 13, where Moses gave instructions to the spies to go out and to spy the land, all right? And this is what we find in Numbers 13. It says, Moses gave them specific instructions. He says, let us know whether the people are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land is fertile or barren, whether the cities are fortified. And then he tells them to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Y'all remember that, right? And you remember what happened? 12 spies went out, 10 came back with a negative report. And this is what they said in Numbers 13, verse 27. He says, they said, "We went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the Ites. The Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." And then in verse 30 it says, "But then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. It says that Caleb had what? A different spirit. He had a different outlook, okay? He was carrying something that the others were not carrying. You know, it's interesting that you can have the same people go in and see the same circumstances, and yet they come back with two different opinions, two different responses. You know, as Christians, we ought to have a righteous reflex. How many remember going to the doctor and the doctor taps you on your kneecap when you were small and you kick your leg out, testing your reflexes, okay? Well, the spirit of faith is like that. It's like a reflex. It's something automatic. It's like a disposition. It's like a default mechanism, right? That all Christians, all of us should have, should possess. But sometimes, you know, things come up unexpected and and it's okay. You know, as long as we live in life, things come up unexpected and we end up using our faith towards that, you know, and standing on the Word of God towards that particular circumstance. But it's quite another thing to have just to carry something else, something greater, a spirit of faith about us, all right, that we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by any type of situation or circumstance. We know our God. We know the Word of God. Come on now. We know who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We know that we are more than conquerors. We are totally victorious. Thanks be unto God who what? Always causes us to triumph. Now I'm preaching this message better than you guys are responding. How many of y'all have the spirit of faith this morning? Amen. See, how many of y'all are more than conquerors? Yes. See, we're not to live in fear. We're not to live there. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know? I love to be around people that have a different spirit. You know? When you realize when someone else is carrying something that you don't have, you realize, man, I wish I was like that guy. I wish I was like that person, because those qualities, those characteristics start rubbing off on you, right? All right? And you're like, yeah, that's right. There's something about that person. They're always positive. They're always optimistic. But then you get around an Eeyore. Oh, my goodness. Some of these are so gloomy, so pessimistic. They can't see the light from the darkness. I mean, everything is just negative, 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 right? And it what? It sucks the real life. It just pulls you down, right? I don't want to be an Eeyore. Everybody say, I don't want to be an Eeyore. How many of y'all want to be a Tigger this morning? Amen? Bouncy, 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 right? You know, years ago there was a study that was done by a certain doctor. He was studying centurions, people who lived to be over 100 years of age, and so you know, he looked at their lifestyles and what they ate, what they, you know, how they lived, and different things, and so he was trying to find what are the characteristics, what are the common things that these people have that they could live well over 100 years of age. Well, his conclusion was that they all had endured hardship. They all had lost their fortunes multiple times. They had lost children. Children had died early. They had suffered different adversity, all right, throughout their lives. But yet, despite all of that, they had the ability to bounce back. They had the ability to overcome. They had the ability to just look beyond all that and enjoy life, okay? You know, and keep going on. Keep going on. Whereas in most people, if most people just suffered one of those things, a loss of a child, okay? Man, that can put you back years and years and years, all right? and you lose faith in God, and you're hurting. You miss that child that you raised, and so. But these people had experienced multiple circumstances, and yet all through life they learned to bounce. They learned to just overcome every obstacle that they faced. You know, that's the way I want to be, right? I want to be able to bounce back. I want to be able to have some resilience, all right? You know, I want to be like a bouncing ball. I want to be like a Tigger, okay? You know, and so we can, because we have the faith of God living inside of us. But it's not just having faith in God or standing in faith, but it's having a spirit of faith. It's having a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is contagious. You get around someone with great faith, you're like, man, wow, they make me want to do better, all right, and think differently. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? Hallelujah. You know, I think about David, when David went out to face Goliath. You know, here he comes out there on the battlefield, and he sees what's going on, and so he says, Who is this guy? That all of this nation, Israel, is in fear of? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Well, hey, we know that's covenant talk. That's covenant talk. Who is this guy? All right. He says, man, I can take this guy. This guy is going down today. All right. And you look at what David said and how he reacted. But he says, listen, he told the giant, listen, he says, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals today. You may be tall, but you're not tall enough for my God. Everyone else was in fear. Everyone else was looking at this big giant, and they said, oh my gosh, the whole nation was in fear. David said, what? What? This guy is nothing, all right? And it says that David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of you, of the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Amen. That is faith talk. Amen. And one thing about the spirit of faith is the spirit of faith, it tells what's going to happen and what's going to be the end result. That's the difference between faith and the spirit of faith. When you move over into the spirit of faith, you're already determining the outcome while you're still going through the battle. Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood. Y'all remember that story? For 12 years, she suffered many things. In the Greek language, it says that she was tormented. Tortured by all that she had been through. In the Greek language, it talks about torture as if a person that goes into a torture chamber is tortured until they can't bear it any longer, and then they let go for several days. And just as they start to feel better and get healed up, they have to go right back into that torture. So the woman with the issue of blood, all right, she was in that type of torture, that type of situation, with a flow of blood for 12 years, and nothing better, nothing worked. You know, she spent all that she had. She had been to many physicians, right? But when she heard about Jesus, what happened? She pressed through the crowd. Hallelujah. She made her way to Jesus, okay? And she said, and again, faith is where? Two places. It's in the heart, it's in the mouth. It says that she kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And the moment that she touched, what? She was healed. Hallelujah. We have many examples in the Bible of people that just had this spirit of faith around them. Right? They just refused to be ignored. They just refused to quit. They refused to take no for an answer. Come on now. They just believed in victory all the time. Wow, what our churches could be like if people, Christians today, believed that we were, could have victory all the time. See, we're not to live in a place where we're trying to get into victory. We're to live in a place from victory. From victory, we begin to speak faith. This will be the result. This will happen. This will take place. Listen, I had a situation many years ago in our family. Our family went through a really, 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 really difficult time for several months. First of all, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and then 3 months later, I was diagnosed with cancer. So you can imagine our family, especially my mother, all that she went through. Okay, but when my father went through, he went through a surgery. It was exploratory surgery, and so it was supposed to be many hours long, and so we were in the waiting room. And about 45 minutes later, the surgeon comes out, and he gathers their family together, and he said, I have some bad news to tell you. He talks about my father. He says, so we open him up, and there's nothing we can do. He's going to be dead in 6 months. He's got a tumor wrapped around his main artery, and it's inoperable. So are there any questions? So my brother-in-law, even though he's an engineer, very analytical, okay, he had a spirit of faith about him, all right? And he says to the surgeon, so how long have you been performing these types of operations? Well, I'm like, what? Is he trying to make the surgeon mad? So surgeon says, I don't know for how many years. So he says to the surgeon, so how sure are you of this diagnosis? Well, the surgeon says, well, I've been a surgeon a long time. I mean, I've seen this. And how sure are you? The surgeon says, 98% sure, okay? Well, my brother-in-law pointed his finger at him. He says, well, good, we'll take the 2%. And that's what our family did. We took the 2%. And we started standing on the Word of God. And, 2.5 months later, all the cancer had disappeared. It was gone. Hallelujah. So, of course, a couple months later, I was diagnosed. Well, my mom, she's already ready for a fight. She's already been through it, okay, once. So, of course, when I was given the death sentence, okay, and the doctor said, this is terminal, it's incurable, on and on and on, she just opened her Bible. She says, whose report are we going to believe? See, there's something about carrying the spirit of faith, and it's something that you carry. Faith is a stand, but the spirit of faith is a disposition. Faith is something you exercise, but the spirit of faith is something that you carry with you all the time. No matter what comes up, no matter what happens, your first response is faith in God. Hallelujah. So let's talk about how do we develop this, okay? Well, first of all, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Never run at your giant with your mouth shut. So if something comes up, where's faith? It's in the heart, but it's also where? In the mouth, okay? One man says this. He says, your faith must be strong enough to move your mouth. Otherwise, it will never move your mountain. Everybody say, ouch, or oh me, or amen. So the spirit of faith is a disposition. It's a settled mindset, a settled confidence that we have in God, okay? So let's talk about how is the spirit of faith caught? I say faith is taught, but the spirit of faith is what? Caught. Something that you catch. Well, first of all, it comes by meditating in God's word. All right? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will what? Make your way prosperous. Make your way prosperous. See, the Bible becomes more than information. It becomes the truth. And you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. And when you meditate on Scripture daily, faith begins to shape your thinking. Faith begins to shape your thinking. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing. Romans 10:17. A second way that the spirit of faith is caught is through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I like what it says in John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it or show it to you. You know, I love that. I love that because the Holy Spirit will take what is the word, or take what is Jesus's, and he will what? Show it to you. He will reveal it to you. He will give you revelation, and that revelation will build confidence. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The more you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more fear is replaced by faith. So I'm giving you some tools this morning, you know, on developing this type of faith, this type of strong faith. Number three, if you want to have a spirit of faith, if you want to develop that, you have to associate with people of faith. You can't be around turkeys all the time. All right? You can't be, because who you associate with, that's what you'll imitate. Right? And so I love being around people who just are positive, people that have lots of energy, people just look at the glass full, right? And see things in a positive light, a positive manner, okay? And they're just full of faith that no matter what you tell them, they don't go, oh, I'm so sorry about all that. No, they said, hey, you know what? Let me join my faith with you. God is bigger than this. We are well able. Come on now. Our God is well able to fix this situation. And it doesn't matter whether it's your physical health, whether it's a family situation, a relationship, a broken relationship, whatever it is, you know what? They're like, no, God is bigger than this. God can change all of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of y'all catching the spirit of faith this morning? Yes. See, people with a spirit of faith, they think differently and they speak differently. That's how God wants us to think and to speak. We can carry this. We can carry this with us wherever we go. God wants us to have it. Because faith is contagious. You get around people like that, you're like, wow, yeah, we have victory. Glory to God. Where two or more agree, it shall be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the spirit that's on somebody else will, what, influence you. It'll get on you. Now, I look back in the Word of God here, and I look at Caleb and Joshua, how they had to wait 40 years. 40 years. That first generation died off in the wilderness. But for 40 years, they carried something. They carried faith. They carried, we are well able. God has said it. How many of y'all, I remember the phrase, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. How many of y'all remember that phrase? Yeah? All right. Some of y'all remember when we used to take all the scripture verses and put them on 3x5 note cards, and you'd post them on your refrigerator, on your mirror, all right, wherever you were, all right, because those scriptures were fresh, right? They meant something. There was revelation, okay? And so you carried that wherever you went. Sometimes we need to get back to some of those things. Amen? You know, today we can talk about people like John G. Lake. Most of you know John G. Lake. He had 100,000 documented miracles, you know, in Seattle. I mean, the governor gave him an award for being the healthiest city in the world or in the nation. And so, but John G. Lake's, before he became John G. Lake, he was with a minister one time, and the minister said, John, would you like to go pray for this man who's dying? And he says, well, sure, I'll go. And so as they're walking to see the man, John G. Lake says to the minister, so you know, you said he's near death. Yeah, he's near death. It doesn't look so good. They tell me that any moment now he could go. He could die, but he won't die. And John G. Lake says, what do you mean he won't die? Well, I already know. I already know. God's going to raise him up. God's going to heal him. And I don't care what things look like. God's going to do his part. And the man's going to be healed. And he's going to live for many, many more years. Well, John G. Lake says, well, how can you be sure of that? He says, because I'm sure of my God. And my God has already said that he will heal him and he will raise him up. And sure enough, they got to the house where the guy, he was barely alive, barely breathing. People were saying their goodbyes. And the minister friend prayed for the guy. And the guy came back. All right, he was restored. He, you know, within a few days, all right, he was completely healed, and he lived for many, many more years. Well, that impacted John G. Lake so much, because he said there's something about that man, that fellow minister, that he carried a different spirit. And that's what impacted John G. Lake to become John G. Lake. Because you associate with somebody else, that same spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to be around more Tiggers, more people with a spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. And just, I'll just tell you this. Hey, be around a lot of testimonies. Testimonies will stir your faith. They'll keep your faith alive, okay? Because it will continue to remind you of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful. All right? And so what we have to do is to live in this spirit of faith is we have to speak the Word of God constantly. We have to take hold of the Word of God and to speak it, to declare it. What you say today will determine what you have tomorrow. So if we're going to develop this kind of faith, It's got to be in our heart. It's got to be in our mouth. All right? And we've got to speak it out loud, and we've got to declare it. Declare God's word. Man, I think we need some more Davids that will face some giants, right? And say, hey, you're going down. You're going down. Because my Bible says, God's word says, all right? I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. God's word says, by his stripes I am healed and I am healed. God's word says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all ought to be just rejoicing this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Philemon says that that your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is within you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. I live in victory. I don't know defeat. I'm a winner. I always win. The devil can't take me down. Circumstances can't take me down. I have the faith of God. I have God's faith living inside of me. I'm an overcomer. I'm always victorious. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hands to prospers in Jesus' name. I have the life of God living inside of me. There's no darkness in me. There's life in me. It's God's life in me. I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah, I'm strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Let's give it up for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's all Bible. Those are all scriptures. It's not just positive thinking or positive confession. That's the word of God. And that's the word that we're supposed to live by. Hallelujah. Let's all lift up our hands one more time. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for stirring us up today. Father, to get into new levels of faith. New levels of thinking, yes, to prod us into new levels of thinking, new levels of believing, new levels of speaking. Father God, Lord, your word says that when Jesus returns, will he not find faith on the earth? So we know when Jesus returns, he's looking for people of faith. He's looking for people who carry a different spirit, a spirit of faith. Father, let us be those people today. Let us be people who carry the message, carry your word, that your word is hid in our hearts and that your word is coming out of our mouth, coming out of our mouth. That as soon as we hear bad news, as soon as circumstances come up, Father, the word of God is like a sword. It begins to come out of our mouth. Father, we declare, we believe, and therefore we speak. Father, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for this everyone here today. Father, no matter what they're going through, no matter what trials they may face or situations that lie them, Father, we just thank you right now that your word says that you are the great physician. You are the Lord, our healer, that you have promised us long and healthy life, that you have that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, that we are blessed coming in, that we are blessed going out. Father, I just pray, Father, that faith, that spirit of faith, Father, would rest on every single person today. Every single person today, Father God. Lord, that they would walk out of here feeling refreshed, feeling victorious, speaking words of faith into the atmosphere. Father God, that we would go from this place, and Father, the faith that you've given to us would be contagious to those that are around us. And Father, that we can also influence others. Father, that we can encourage them in their walk. We can bless them. And so, Father, I thank you for every person today. We thank you that no matter what we're going through, Father, you've given us the faith of God to overcome. And so, Lord, I thank you for each and every person today. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.